Dog Pound Nation, 42 points, 500 plus yards, and no turnovers. I want to hear what my dog's got to say, so crack your beers and turn up the dog podcast. Woo, 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 woo.
Welcome to the Dogs Podcast with your hosts, Blake Reniker, Zach Kopp, Justin Charles, and Josh All.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of The Dogs. If you'd like to get your intro on the show, head to thedogspodcast.com, tap leave voicemail in the drop-down menu. Another awesome intro from Kenny Mack, how the Ottawa Browns backers can't wait to come up and crack a beer and drink with you guys and watch some Browns football. We have a ton to get into today, obviously, but before we do, I have to remind you to check us out on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. If you're watching on YouTube, please like and subscribe. Make sure to tap the notification bell so you never miss a new episode. You can also catch us on Apple, Spotify, and Google if you're more of just a listener. Lastly, if you're craving some more content, head to the jointhedogs.com to become an official Dog Pack member on our Patreon page. You get the episodes early. You get an extra episode every week. We got fantasy leagues. There's game day threads. There's a big text thread going on. Basically, it's more access to all of us, if that's something you care about. It's a good time. So jointhedogs.com, become an official Dog Pack member. Come hang out with us, even when we're not, live on YouTube.
In the doghouse.
Listen, let me say something to you as a friend. You suck.
So, obviously, we didn't want to be talking about a loss today, but the Browns did lose, even though we scored 42 points at over 500 yards of offense and no turnovers, like Kenny Mack said. First time in NFL history a team has done that, and we've lost. I thought we were done with finding ways to lose. I thought that ended last year, but we know we found a way to lose. So, the first thing we have to address, and before we get into, what the Browns did wrong, the officials should be embarrassed. The NFL should be embarrassed, honestly, because our game was awful, but it's like a league-wide epidemic.
That's what I was about to say.
Yep. I mean, I watched the Sunday night game last night, and it was awful, and it completely changed the momentum of the game. And obviously, I'm going to touch on the pass interference call, but what about Treader getting called for holding when the guy had his hands up his face mask, and we get called for holding? And that went from second and six, possibly somewhere there, second and six, second and seven, to first and 20. I mean, those are back-breaking penalties that are going against us. And why can't we ever get the benefit of that?
Well, and I feel like every play they show, the replay of Herbert dropping back to throw, and I see somebody's forearm around Myles Garrett's throat.
Every single time. And the only time they called it was towards the end of the game. Their tight end grabbed jersey one time, and they called it. You could call him. He gets held every play. Yep.
Yes, he does.
And we ask, where's Myles? Well, he's getting chipped, and he's getting held. Throw the flag. It's so frustrating. And it's not just us being Browns homers fans. It's literally even unbiased people about the Browns. Colin Cowherd is the biggest Baker/Browns hater there is out there. And he went on his show today and said, yes, there were things the Browns could have done after that pass interference call to win that game. But that guy should be suspended. And if that doesn't get called, the Browns probably win.
Absolutely.
And he is the biggest Browns hater there is.
I was watching, and then like Zach said, after the Browns game, I was in a bad mood. I was watching the game last night, and I didn't even have fun watching the Bills Chiefs. And then that pass interference, roughing the passer. And I'm like, okay, the NFL is creating a product right now that is borderline becoming unwatchable.
Yes, it's terrible.
Yeah, it's sucking all of the fun out of this game whenever you're making blatantly bad calls and missing blatantly obvious ones. It's like, what are we doing here?
And I don't understand how we can live in a world like this when we have 50 cameras in 100 right. different angles, and we're getting calls wrong. I don't understand why there's no sky judge in, I don't know if people have heard this, but they've been talking about it for years where plays aren't, it's not a challenge, and us, the fans, would have no idea it's even going on. It would be that quick.
Yeah.
That guy could throw that flag and instantly the sky judge could have the replay up, and all he has to do is mic down and say, hey, that's on the offense, or hey, pick that up. There's no interference there. We wouldn't even know it happened.
Dude, I've been saying that for years. They need one official up top that can overrule anything based on the replays that we all get to see. And we're like, hey, that was clearly a blown call. And then he could just, like you said, we wouldn't even know it happened.
No, there's no difference between,
we don't have to know,
like a ball that's thrown and it looks like there's interference, but the ball was tipped at the line. So all the officials get together and they discuss it. Right. And then they find out, yeah, ball was tipped, no interference. There's no difference between that and letting the guy be up in the booth with camera angles. And to the credit of the officials, the game is faster now than it's ever been. Offenses are more spread out than they've ever been. These officials are covering way more ground than they've ever had to cover. So it's harder. They're doing a very bad job at it. It is not just us. It was terrible in our game.
Well, not to
mention, it's not just our games, too.
The rules of the game, especially on the defensive side, are freaking stupid. Yes. I mean, it's so nitpicky. What's a pass interference? What's not? What's this? What's that? It's like, oh my gosh. And then you add in the speed of the game. I mean, I can't blame these guys for making these bonehead calls out there.
Give them
but at
help.
The same time, right. It's happening.
And then lastly for that is on that pass interference, even if you thought there was some hand checking going on, use some discretion. Do not bail out the Chargers on a 40-yard penalty.
Yeah.
You bailed them out.
With the game on the line at that point.
Yes. We did everything right on that play, forced him into a bad throw, and he just heaves up a miracle, and you bailed him out. You handed it to him. It's absolutely insane. And I know, non-Browns fans are going to be talking crap to us saying that we had chances to go win the game after that. But if you say that that didn't alter the outcome of the game, you're just being a hater. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You're just trolling, and you're just being a hater because it was obvious.
Yep.
Yeah. You can't really argue with that. I mean, the officiating, and like you said yesterday, across the board was pretty bad. But I mean, in our game, because we watched it, it was terrible.
There's too much on the line.
Yeah.
There's too much on the line to let things like this affect the outcomes of games.
Yeah. And the other thing is okay, if you're going to call that, then be consistent when it happens on other plays throughout the entire game, because there was a couple times the Browns were in the same situation where there was hand fighting or guy got tripped. And it was way worse than what they just called. And we didn't get the call. Like, okay, and I know they're never going to call it at the end of the game where Njoku gets his legs tangled up and falls down. But the rule is if you can't prevent the other person from having an opportunity to go after the football.
Well, and if
he's on the ground, if you take him to the ground, regardless how you did it, shouldn't that be a penalty?
And if you watch it close, their legs didn't get tangled up. The Chargers' legs got tangled up,
right,
and he fell and tripped in Njoku.
Right.
So it's not like incidental contact with their legs getting crossed together. No, this guy fell into him. I don't care if it was an accident or not. It's still a penalty. Yeah. And they didn't call that. In the series before the last series of the game, we tried a double move to TPJ, and they just pushed him out of bounds. Didn't call that. I mean, it's awful. It's awful. And it seems to always go against the Browns. Divisional round last year, no call on the helmet to helmet and the ball goes out of the end zone completely changes the complexion of the game. It always goes against us. I'm so tired of it.
Yeah. But my thing yesterday was you still have to be able to overcome. You got to be able to put together the necessary play calls and things at the end of the game. When we had the ball on offense, and what was there, 3 minutes or so?
After they missed the extra point.
We had the ball, and it was like, okay, if we can, we got this powerful run game. We're running it down their throats the whole game. Let's go get a couple first downs
and ice this game.
And what do? Three and out.
Yep.
And it's like, okay, now we just gave control back to them. We only made them use one timeout. So they had two timeouts and the 2 minute warning. I'm like, well, we just lost. We lost. We can't stop them on defense, and we just gave it right back to them.
I said it after they missed it and kicked it to us. I said, we cannot give them the ball back.
Nope.
So
because there's no way we were going to win.
Yeah. So we're done talking about the officials now. Everything now is it's on the Browns.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And
there's a lot to I mean, there is a lot there's on the Browns.
Yes.
I mean, I don't know if necessarily. And what's crazy is there's things that we can point to from the offensive side where we're looking. Okay, we put up 42 points. However, over 503
yards.
Yeah, 500 yards of offense, and there's still things that we could have done better on the offensive side. It's kind of crazy to think.
Yeah.
You know, when you look at that, you should probably be like, "Well, the offense did their job," but like Josh said, the three and out. So we do that run play. They call their first time out, and it's just like they were selling out that that was their game. That was the ball game to them.
Yeah. Get
one first down pretty much, and it's going to one or two. Two for sure would have probably been
two,
over.
Two would have had it.
And on that, on the second down play, it was the one where Baker, he had all day, and just nobody got open.
That's the one where they pushed DPJ out of bounds.
Yes. Yeah, so, I mean, he was in the pocket. I couldn't believe that nobody had broken free and got open because Baker literally was dancing for what felt like an eternity back in the pocket. And then the third and 10 run?
Yeah.
I don't know what Stefanski was thinking. And I know, Blake, I think you said when we were talking yesterday after the game that he came out and said something about he was worried about the protection mm-hmm. and doing all that. I don't care. I mean, the game was on the line. Yeah, what made you think, okay, well, we'll run it. We'll pick up a couple yards. We'll punt it, and we're going to get that. We'll stop them.
Yeah, we hadn't stopped them in forever.
And it wasn't that we had to stop them from getting a touchdown to win the game. They only needed 3 points.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And so I put on here, you know, the coaching decisions, or is it a lack of trust? Does he not trust Baker to go out there and ice that game away? Because – other number one franchise quarterbacks, they don't. That's not the play calling.
No,
that is not the play. Especially with that much, I could understand if there was 25 seconds to go in the game and the Chargers had no timeouts and were like, if we run this ball, we at least force them to use their last timeout, or and then we can punt it away, and then we only got to play defense for like 15 seconds. There was plenty of time. There's 2.5 minutes left. You knew you couldn't give them the ball back.
We're running the ball for 6.6 yards a clip yesterday. So, okay, so we got stuffed on the first down run. Run it again. I mean, you've been scheming runs this whole game that they can't stop. So maybe you go and you get 4 yards and make that third down a little more manageable. I did not understand what they were trying to do there.
To me, it was a case of, I'd hate to say it, but Stefanski kind of fell into, he was coaching not to lose instead of coaching.
Yeah.
To
oh, that's win. Exactly what it felt like.
Well, yeah, because there was times in that second half where the Browns were playing with a lead and the play calling just wasn't like attacking the defense.
No,
it just kept going at him and being like, we're going to put points on the board every single drive because we got you on your heels. It was like, all right, we don't want to take any chances and get a turnover or anything like that. We'll just, you know, get out of here with the first down, give you the ball back. And as soon as they tied the game up, what do the Browns do? It's like two plays and 70-yard touchdown to Njoku.
Yep.
Just like the playbook. Okay, let's open it back up and let's go to work. And in two plays, you score.
Do you not trust those guys? Do you not trust Baker to go out there and play smart and not turn the ball over? Because we see this isn't the first game where we've gotten a lead and given it away in part because of play calling gets so vanilla. And you have those people out there saying, you're running the ball so good, just keep running it. So if we would come out and Baker throw incompletions, they'd be like, why were you running the ball? Well, you have to we have to be diverse.
Yeah.
We can't just come out there and run the ball on first down, run the ball on second down, and then throw the ball on third and eight. This is the NFL. That is going to be very difficult.
This isn't the first time, though, that we've seen this out of Stefanski. I mean, think about the Colts game last year. We were up on them, and then we damn near lost because we were playing it safe. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I just wonder if it has something to do with, you know, I mean, he is only a second-year head coach. I mean, he doesn't have a whole lot of experience yet.
No, he's got to learn. He's got to learn. That's just like how the players
does.
Learn.
Yeah. But he doesn't have all that experience yet of, well, this is what I did last time in this, or the last five times in this type of situation. You know, he had maybe one or two last year, but, you know, he's got to learn quick.
Yeah,
we're going to be in more of these type of games.
Yeah, I thought on that last drive, too, I personally didn't like not seeing Nick Chubb in the game.
Correct.
With the game on the line. I know Kareem Hunt has been...
At least on first and second down.
Yes. I know Kareem Hunt has been fantastic, you know, especially the last couple weeks. He's been really good. But something, I don't know what it was, but it looked like Nick Chubb was in a different gear yesterday in my eyes. He would get the ball, and it was like he was shot out of a cannon through the hole, and he was getting what felt like 7, 8, 9 yards on that first down carry. I just didn't understand. I guess you have Kareem Hunt in the game because you're like, oh, if we check down to a pass play, he gives you a better look there. But, I mean, Nick Chubb, what'd he have, 20-something carries for 161 yards or something crazy? I mean, the guy was a beast yesterday.
He looked very explosive. He looked more explosive than he had in the last 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah, because he just had a burst that I thought was different yesterday. So I didn't like seeing that he wasn't on the field there. And then if we're kind of going still with the play calling, so obviously we know the story, right? Chargers go down. We give them ball back. Not even on their side of the field. They ended up getting the ball on our side after the punt.
Yep.
Great punt, Jamie Gillen.
Oh, I'm going to touch on that. Don't you worry.
So that happens, and then they eventually score. We'll touch on all that stuff. But then the play calling on when we got the ball back wasn't great either. And I put that on Baker. I don't know if I put it on Stefanski, because, I mean, you players got to go make plays in those situations. It's hard to, like, scheme open when they're dropping
eight
in the box. But you see, like, Aaron Rodgers does it almost every week now, where they're like, oh, 36 seconds on the clock and I got to go 50 yards. And now he's only got to get in field goal range, but he does it in like two plays to their best receiver every single time, who everybody has to know that's who's getting the ball, and he's still able to do it. But the little dink and dunk, I was losing my mind because I have no idea what we were doing with no timeouts to use. Right. And we're just... I mean, I think, what was it? We moved 26 yards in a minute 30.
So before we get into other stuff, I was going to touch on that. Baker's getting a ton of hate today.
Oh, a lot of hate.
A lot of hate, and which is crazy because
the guy had a great game.
I said I don't want to touch on the officials, but if that gets called and we win, they're talking about how Baker outdueled him, or at least went shot for shot with him.
Yep.
But because of that, and we lose on some fluke stuff,
they look at this, what happened there in the last...
Now, what I'm going to say is, the loss isn't on Baker at all. He played great. But in order to go from good to great, he's got to take that next step, and he needs that drive. He's got to get that monkey off his back. Because I've seen Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, and I know we're not comparing people to Tom Brady. Nobody's Tom Brady, but he did it so efficiently in week one. He had to throw three passes out of bounds just to waste time. And he also had no timeouts.
Right.
You know, and he went, what, 70 yards? And so, and I've seen Aaron Rodgers do it. I see in two plays. He went two plays, like 60 yards. Kirk Cousins does it basically every single week. You know what I mean?
Just can't rely on his kicker.
Yeah. So it's just, in order to take that next step, I think Baker right now is like a top 15 quarterback, not a top 10. I think he's somewhere probably in that like 12, 13 to 15 range.
I think that's fair.
Which is fair, and I think you can win a Super Bowl with that, but everything else has to be buttoned up because your quarterback, he isn't making up for those things. He right now, Baker, and this is I hope it doesn't come across as wrong, but he's not good enough to make up for a bad call by the officials. He's not good enough to make up for our defense having a million injuries. We need him to take that next step. He's a number one overall pick. Number one overall picks are supposed to be able to hide some of those deficiencies. And I'm not saying every time, but we got to get that one to kind of get that confidence where, and then you start building on it. And I think,
and especially versus a good team.
Yes. Too. I don't care that he did against the Bengals last year.
Right.
You know, he needs that.
Cause that's what people are going to say. He's like, oh, they're going to say he's done it, you know, 6 or 7 times. Yeah.
I need him to do it against a good team in a big moment. You know, a career-defining drive. And I think it's coming. He just got to make that jump. And that's why, but it's to put the loss on Baker is idiotic.
Yeah, the loss is.
I mean, he played almost perfect.
Oh, he's 72% completion, 305 yards, 2 touchdowns, no turnovers.
Yeah.
Some big first down runs, right? I mean.
Yeah, I mean, he played almost perfect. We just need him to take that next step. He just to go from right now, you're good, but I need you to be great because you're the number one overall pick. Just get up there. And I'm not saying that he won't or he's not the guy. It's just there's steps to this process, and you got to take the next one.
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, you know, you're saying he's a former number one overall pick. There's another number one thing that we don't seem to have right now, and that's a number one wide receiver. I don't understand what's going on out there. I feel like the only player he's really comfortable with is Higgins, and he's hardly ever on the field, and he's not a number one receiver anyway.
No.
What is going on with OBJ?
I don't know. There's something there, and I hate that we just got to keep having this conversation after every game that Odell plays.
It is old, man.
I mean, I know that, and we've had the argument last year for people that watched with us last season of arguing that Jarvis was our number one last year and not Odell, even when, you know, they were playing together early in the season. Obviously, missing Jarvis is hurting.
Huge. Yes.
It hurts because he is that check down guy, the guy you go to on a crucial play when you need it. You know you need a catch, and everybody knows you're throwing, and that guy gets open. We just can't make Odell be that guy right now.
I don't understand.
Can almost tell that in a crucial moment, if Jarvis is playing, I would say almost 7 out of 10 times, that's where the ball is.
Well, we had a crucial moment yesterday, and we threw it to OBJ.
And he dropped it.
And he dropped it.
And I'm not going to...
The pass wasn't behind him. He wasn't getting hit. It was out in front, hit him in the hands, and he dropped it.
And if he catches that, we probably get at least three, if not... He might score. There's nobody really around him. He's got to catch the ball. I'm not making excuses for him. Just the funny part of me, he probably wasn't expecting it. When was the last time we threw him the ball in a big situation? You know, he probably wasn't expecting to get the ball.
Those are those things from your, you know, quote-unquote stars on your team.
They got
that
place.
When those guys make the mistakes that cost you, it's like
nobody's talking about.
What are we supposed to do now?
Yeah,
you know, you are the guys that we pay you to be dependable, and when you're not, you're kind of worthless.
Yeah, I mean, it's when you look back at it and how long we've had Odell for now. It's not like he's new to the team. I know he didn't play a lot last year, but he's getting paid a lot of money that it shouldn't have to take this long for. You know, it to come to fruition of, right. You know, what he is supposed to be in this offense. And it's just not that. And you can't tell me that he's not more talented than Peoples Jones, who had 5 catches for 70 yards, or Njoku had 7 catches for 149 yards. I mean, Odell's way more talented than those guys.
You saw it on his sideline catch.
Yeah.
Insane.
That was a great catch. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's, a mental issue with him of, that him and Baker can't get on the same page, or that he just doesn't like the way that the offense is run. Maybe this doesn't fit his type of style and he's just kind of mentally checked out from it. I don't know what it is, but he doesn't look happy either. You don't see, happy-go-lucky Odell. Maybe when Jarvis gets back, that'll help, but... Man, it sucks to be like, we have to bring your best friend in just for you to be happy.
I mean, it's just, we got to figure out a way to get him involved organically into the offense.
I
put that on Stefanski too. Like, Baker's got to figure it out. OBJ's got to figure it out. But our offensive guru coach needs to figure out a way to organically incorporate him into the offense.
That's the thing. And it goes back to what you say all the time is like, he's a very talented receiver. Like, he's got elite potential.
Yeah.
What is going on that he sucks on the field? Yeah. I mean, like he puts up no stats. He's never getting targeted.
A couple things that I would like to see if I'm Stefanski going forward. And it was one of Odell's 2 catches that he had, where he was pretty much, I think he was lined up. And it was man coverage to start, and they were playing him like 10 yards off the ball. And he pretty much ran out, turned around at like 8 yards, caught it complete, and got a wide. He was wide open. Do that 6-7 times a game and like get him involved that way. It doesn't have to. I'm not asking for Odell to be the guy who's out there catching. All he does is catch 30 yard bombs or something like he's Tyreek Hill. And we just need to get him the ball and get it in his hands because he's dynamic as a runner. I mean, we saw it a couple years back in that New York Jets game on a slant, and he took it to the house. because he was just faster and better, you know, with the ball than anybody on the defense. They couldn't tackle him or catch him.
Got to move him around too. Put him in the slot. Get him matched up on a linebacker. Run. You know what I mean? Do that kind of stuff. Don't just put him as our outside receiver in a twin set and tell him to run deep.
Right. Yeah, so that's what I feel like we do a lot with him. And if you kind of look at some of the other really good wide receivers, like a Davante Adams, he runs a lot of slot, you know, crossing routes across the field that he catches the ball for 5 to 8 yards, and he turns it into a 20-yard gain. And then everybody's like, oh, Davante Adams is just averaging 20-something yards a catch. Yeah, because he had 15 after.
Mm-hmm.
So I would like to see some more of that. Get Odell the ball a little bit closer to line of scrimmage. Don't rely on him always having to get open, like Blake said, if they're playing a cover two or something, have a safety over the top. Baker right now, I don't think is that guy that's going to thread the needle and take that risk, because I don't think he wants to turn the ball over.
No.
And other guys can be open in this system doing other things. So I just think that we got to, like you said, move him around, get him more involved with like those little quick hitters rather than...
Yeah, without forcing it, like I said, organically. Get him involved organically, where it's like in the rhythm of the offense, because you got to figure it out.
When they target him early on in games, it feels so forced.
Yeah, we got to figure it out, because I know a lot of Browns fans disagree with me. We need that kind of talent to compete. The teams we're going to go against have Tyreek Hill, Travis Stephon Kelce, Stephon Diggs, Allen,
Mike Williams. We just saw those two.
Yes, we're not going to go into these places and win games
with Hollywood Higgins
is our number one receiver. It's not happening.
Well,
because if that's the case, if you that's who you take into the game, we have one way we can play to win, and it is pound the ball at them and play action pass and be tricky. At some point, we got to be able to just line up and throw the ball. And you're not going to be able to do that if Higgins is your number one. So you got to figure it out.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that Higgins has played well in his time now that he's getting some run. And finally, Donovan Peoples-Jones showed up yesterday. But I just kind of want to talk Anthony Schwartz. I mean, after game one, I think we were all like really high on what he could do. And he's been such a disappointment to where I'm like, I don't even want him on the field, because it feels like when he's on the field, we target him because he should be open.
He's making never rookie mistakes.
Yes. I mean, he just looks lost at times out there.
The one down the sideline, it looked like he slowed up again.
Yeah, it did.
He didn't think Baker could throw it that far, and he slowed up. And
he had to dive for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And before we get to the defense, last thing, our special teams are not good. We got a kicker now.
We got a kicker, but the punter sucks.
The punter, I know, and I got attacked on YouTube for saying Jamie Gillen wasn't good. Jamie Gillen is not good.
No.
Jamie Gillen is not a good punter. He can't punt. First of all, he's supposed to have this big leg.
Didn't see it yesterday. He's
routinely getting off like 40-yard punts. There's high school kids who punt further than that.
A big leg would have come in real nice yesterday. Now, they still would have gone down the field and scored, and we'll talk about why. But still, it would have helped.
Yeah, and then not even that. There was the one time we punted, and he just kicked it into the end zone.
Yes, yeah,
like,
yeah,
it
yeah.
Sure would have been nice to pin him in the 10 or the 15 there and make him go, you know, 80 yards, 90 yards. Nope, you just kick it 10 yards into the end zone.
Yeah.
He is not good.
I think they need to be looking elsewhere.
He's not good at all. We never should have got rid of Brent Colquitt just because this guy had long hair,
and big muscles.
Yeah.
Like, and a cool nickname.
It's unbelievable. Right. He wasn't even good that preseason either. And we just got rid of him because he like tackled people and the fans liked him, and it saved us a bunch of money.
Well, if your punter has to tackle people, then you got bigger problems anyway.
And then and then Schwartz bringing it out of the end zone and pinning his
team. Oh my gosh.
I could have
that's put on my the special fist teams through the TV,
man. What the hell is he even doing back there? I get that he's a speedster, but how often does your returner make a huge splash play?
If they run out of that end zone, they are getting hit 9 times out of 10 before the 20.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's on the coordinator too. He's got to look at him and be like, I'm the captain now. You don't run this out.
Right.
You know? And yeah. So I don't know what's going on with their special teams, but they have not been, we finally got a kicker, and it's like the other phases are going downhill.
Yeah. Jamie Gillen. I mean, I don't know who's, I mean, you look at probably the best, one of the best punter in our division. If you looked it up, is probably the Steelers rookie that they drafted. So, I mean, there's gotta be somebody out there that can kick the ball. I mean, I think he averaged like 44 yards yesterday punting wise, but the one was a touchback that I think was as long a 53 because he just kicked it as hard as he could. He didn't like actually strategically do anything. So I don't know. That area has definitely got to get better.
Yep. So lastly, what went wrong? I want to touch. We got to talk about the defense.
We're not just going to touch on it. This is where it's at.
So I wrote injury / the defense. I put, is the defense still trash? I put question marks after this on mine. It's hard for me to truly evaluate the defense when by the end of the game, we only had two corners on the roster that were healthy enough to play. If one of those, if like Greedy went down, or is who's going to go in? We were AJ Green is an undrafted free agent out there
who played 69 of the 75
trying
snaps
to cover Mike Williams.
And I thought he did a good job. He was
scrapping and fighting like crazy.
I give that kid a lot of credit for the way he played.
Yeah, he was the one that got flagged for the
it was terrible.
For the PI.
And that wasn't on him.
Because he's right there in the right position, looking back at the football,
making a play
doing
on
everything right. He did literally everything right and got called for the penalty. So, yeah, I mean, there were a lot of miscues, and it probably is because of the different guys playing. Because A.J. Green hasn't played football in probably 2 years. That meant something. Football that meant something. And then you have Greedy, who really isn't back. I don't know if he's really 100% back either. And then he gets injured in the game.
I thought he was fighting so hard.
He led a team in tackles yesterday.
He's Greedy.
Not supposed to be a good tackler.
Yeah, right.
I thought our guys fought so hard, and it. I know we're supposed to be done talking about it, but God bless it. It felt like it was stolen.
Yeah. Okay. So they did. Our guys, I will say, defensively, for a majority of a possession, would play good, and then they'd give up a wide open touchdown.
That's a good point.
Yep. There was multiple times we had them to fourth down, and then they'd go for it and convert, or we'd get them to 3rd and 10. I think I had the stats pulled up that I think they completed 3 or 4 3rd and 10s on 1st and 2nd down, the Browns, we did some things really well. But the guys that I really look at is John Johnson has been a big, big letdown for us on the back end.
Oh, we bring in another safety and all of a sudden he regresses in a certain defensive system.
Sound familiar, anybody?
That's all I'm saying. Yeah. And it's hard for us to be able to tell what's going on in the secondary because, one, we don't know the play call. Two, on television, they don't do any wide angle things really where we can watch the secondary. We pretty much get to watch the ball.
Yeah.
But he was considered maybe the best free agent signing of any team in the NFL this year. And he looks lost.
Yeah, he looks like he doesn't even belong in the field at times. So you're like, where's John Johnson? Oh, the ball's going one way and he's running the other. So I don't know, like the Mike Williams touchdown where he was wide open.
I can understand. Okay, so they got Mike Williams. You know going into the game, he is a big, deep threat, explosive wide receiver. We got to keep him contained. Okay, he breaks loose for a big touchdown early in the game. It's like, geez, come on, guys. Like, I mean, wide open on that one.
Yeah.
But to let it happen again, even worse. I mean, the second touchdown, what happened?
Blown assignments, man. And here's another thing, I guess, you know, and I'm not going to rip the D coordinator a ton because we have all those injuries, but we're not covering anybody. And so bring pressure. Like, he doesn't want to bring pressure because that takes people out of the secondary. Well, what does it matter if you're not covering them anyways?
They're open whether you blitz or not.
So blitz. Do something different.
I don't know if it feels like this to you guys or not, but it's almost like our defense takes away one side of the field and leaves the other side of the field completely open.
Yeah, these are NFL quarterbacks. They can make throws everywhere.
Yeah, so like on the one touchdown play, Herbert rolled out to the right to Mike Williams, and then just the play was designed to do that. They literally let the defensive end, I forget who it was. They let him get, you know, downfield and then just kind of pushed him down deeper and deeper. And Herbert just is like, okay, stop. Perfect. I mean, they said that he had to underthrow him because he had so much time and he was so wide open that he didn't even have to like make him work for the ball. He was just like, oh, he can just stand there and I'll just throw it to where you're standing.
Yeah, he did like the money shot, like when you're shooting a three.
Yeah.
You know, he was like,
yeah,
okay, got it.
And
it's crazy.
And here's, go ahead.
Well, the other thing that I was going to point out about the whole, it feels like one side of the field is always open, was their first touchdown of the game drove me crazy, where it was like, I got it, 2nd and 7, it's end of the first quarter, and they're kind of just methodically going down the field, and they threw it to their tight end, that Parham Jr., and he just like kind of walked into the end zone.
Nobody came up to make a tackle.
There was nobody. There was like two guys over there that were being blocked, but there was nobody else around.
Yeah.
So I just feel like there's times where it's like that. We saw it with like Tyreek Hill would catch a ball and there'd be nobody near him.
Yeah.
Just be wide open in space.
And people, you know, were on me when we were critical of the defense against the Chiefs. How did they look last night against the Bills? They got completely shut down again.
Yep.
And so, and I understand we have a defensive philosophy and we come in with a game plan, but if it's not, first of all, it seems like 9 times out of 10, our game plan philosophy is wrong. And then if we come in and it's not working, change it up, make in-game adjustments.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I don't want to hear, well, we didn't have our normal players in. They're still defensive. They're still football players that know plays.
You think,
you know,
they're on the team for a reason.
Yes. Yeah. They're professionals. They can come in and run a blitz, do something. I cannot stand it's fourth down and we rush four and just let him sit there and wait. You run zone and you give him all day. Eventually there's going to be an opening in the zone.
Yeah. We're not good enough to cover.
I texted some people and said, we feel like a basketball team that lives and dies by the three. And if they're hitting the three, they come out and they smoke you. And it's kind of like us against the Bears. We're getting pressure before and you can't do anything. We're killing you. But if that basketball team comes out and they have an off shooting day, they lose. They suck. If we don't get home with four, we're done. We don't cover anybody.
That's a good comparison.
We live and die by getting home with four people.
And then you don't change your game plan after you know that Clowney isn't playing.
Yeah.
One of your guys that is getting home when you only have four, you're like, okay, well, at least we got Clowney and Garrett that we're sending. Like, Tack McKinley's played well, but he's not Clowney.
No. And I get the plan should be to get that should be the goal, to get pressure with four, because that's every defense's goal. Every defense in the league would tell you, if we can get pressure with four, then we're going to have a good day. But if you're not, you have to manufacture some pressure. It's like in baseball, if you got a home run hitting team, but you're not hitting home runs, at some point you got to adjust and start playing some small ball. Mm-hmm. Maybe lay down a bunt, steal second, yeah, do something. Right. Change it up a little bit. We just go out there and we're like, well, this is what we're doing today. Hopefully it works.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't, I guess we'll lose in a shootout.
Yeah. I don't have the stats, you know, in front of me or anything, but if you force the quarterback to throw in 2 seconds rather than 6 seconds, I bet he doesn't have as great a completion percentage. Yeah. Or he's not at least getting 15 and 20 yards and 30 yards down and big chunk plays. You're making him check down and get a 2 yard pass and stuff like that.
Ask Justin Fields, ask Kirk Cousins. We made them do that.
Yeah.
You know? Go ahead.
It's like, how many times if the Browns are in a big situation like that and the other team brings the house and we either have to like just dump it off real quick or Baker's got to chuck it and throw it away again. And then we just play like soft zone prevent on fourth and five. It makes no sense to me at all. And I'm tired of watching it. I'm tired.
I know. I was getting so upset yesterday. What's getting me, and I'm not trying to be a downer, I'm not trying to be negative Browns fan and all this stuff, but I mean, if you watch the game, if you're a Browns fan, like, you know this stuff, like, you're feeling it too. You know, we lost to the Chiefs in a game that, you know, if we play better defense, we win easily. We had a lead, a big lead, and we gave it up and lost. And then we did the same thing yesterday to the Chargers. That game against the Texans, Tyrod Taylor plays the second half of that game. I don't know. I don't know if we win because we weren't winning the first half. So we could easily, I'm just saying things are a little different. We could be 2-3. That's the kind of defense we have right now.
No, we're going to be in closer games. So I was looking at our schedule and we got a tough game coming up against the Cardinals. It could go either way. Yep. After that Cardinals game, I think we got 5 games in a row that we will be favored in and we should win. But I think those games are going to be way closer than they should be. And they should be in there. They might end up being dogfights. I'm not saying we should be beating every team by 50 points, but we should look like the better team in most of our games.
Yeah, definitely.
And we do for a half sometimes or a quarter. And we're still learning how to close. And honestly, we kind of look like the Chargers of last year. A young, super talented team that just kind of gives games away late because they haven't learned how to win yet.
Yeah.
And then the Chargers got that win this year in Kansas City, and now look at them. We need that one. Maybe it'll be this week. Maybe this will be the game where it's tight and we make that drive and we go down and it clicks. And all of a sudden, you know, we're hitting our stride. But to me, the turning point in the game was 4th and 2 in their own territory from their own 20-yard line, and they go for it and get it easily.
Yeah.
If we stop them there, that's a turning point. I know it's early third quarter, but that was them basically saying, like, we know we're not stopping you.
Yeah, it was funny. It just kept – there were so many times where it was just like – I felt our defense, I know they gave up a lot of points and a lot of yards, but there were times that they did things that were like, all right, we'll put ourselves in a situation to get them off the field, and then they just couldn't make that last play. I didn't think Anthony Walker, who came back from injury, played well.
Did he ever practice or anything?
Probably not, but he missed a couple tackles and wasn't very good in coverage against the tight ends. So he didn't play great. I think that obviously he's probably, I don't know if he's 100%, you know, back or not, because it was late in the week that they made the call saying that he was going to play. It wasn't like it was like, oh yeah, he's good, he'll be ready next week. But the other thing that I was going to mention was they're refusing points again this week.
Yeah,
at times. I like being aggressive, right? Against certain teams in certain situations. Like when it was, I think it was 14-10 on our third possession, 4th and 2, where I think it was the Odell drop? I think it was the Odell drop on the 4th down. So yeah, if he catches the ball, everybody, but in this situation, I like taking the points just because you know that it's going to matter later in the game, in this game, especially against a team where you're thinking we might not be able to stop them. I would at least rather get the 3 because it's guaranteed almost at that point, because our kicker, I would think, would be able to make a 30-yard field goal. But
so I like going for it, but like Jake Trotter put this out on Twitter. He said, I don't mind the Browns going for it on 4th down, but at some point they have to start converting more of them. Under Stefanski, the Browns are 12 of 33 on 4th down dating back to last year. That's the 4th worst conversion rate in the NFL. So if you're going to go for it,
I think there's been a couple games where we've been like 3 for 3. So, I mean, now take those out of there. Yeah. I mean, the stats are way worse.
And I was looking at this is a huge difference in the game. We were 4-12 on 3rd and 1-3 on 4th. So we were 5 of 15. They were 6 of 13 on 3rd and 3 of 3 on 4th. So they were 9 of 16. I mean, that's a big difference in the game. That's like 4 other times we could have gotten off the field that we didn't. Yep. So it's just, and I know we had injuries, but, and I'm giving us some leeway on that. But at the same time, our offense went out there without Jarvis, and we were playing with 3rd and 4th string tackles against Joey Bosa in a good defense, and we put up 42 points.
First team, you said at the beginning, first team in NFL history to score 40 points, over 500 yards of offense and 0 turnovers and lose. That's not your offense's fault in the end of the day. Now, no. They made mistakes along the way, yes, that contributed. But that's on the defense, man.
No, and that's what I'm saying. If the offense can still go out and score 42 down their first and second tackles and minus Jarvis, the defense can go out and play some resemblance of NFL quality defense with some injuries.
Yep. You can't lose. You can't lose when you do that on offense. You can't lose.
Yeah, so like just to put it in kind of perspective, if the game would have went, obviously we don't know if it would have, but if the Browns take those points early in the game instead of going for it, it makes it 45-41 when we kick the ball back to the Chargers. And then now they have to score a touchdown.
Yeah.
They don't have to only get a field goal, which they were playing to get a field goal. And then for some bonehead reason, they gave the ball to Eckler and gave us a chance, because really we should have had no chance. They were going to kick it from the 2-yard line and kick a game-winning field goal. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. At some point, I'd like to see us take points, because it feels like it's every week we get down there, we have a nice drive, we get all the way down there, and I know that you're thinking like, oh, I really want to capitalize, and we just went on this 10-play drive and get a touchdown. But what happens if you don't get a touchdown? Who knows? It's not guaranteed that you're going to score if you convert that 4th down. You might end up kicking a field goal anyway. I don't know.
And if we're going to go for on 4th down, be more disciplined, be more buttoned up, and start converting them.
Yeah.
Start converting them. Guess who isn't complaining about their team going for it on 4th down today? The Chargers.
Because they converted
on all of them. Yeah. of them. And they went on in from 4th-and-2 at their own 20.
Yeah.
So that gets you, yeah, they're not complaining about it. No. So start converting them. Last thing I want to say before we move on is, despite the loss, the Chargers should not go away from this game thinking that they're, like, there's a lot of crap talking going on from Chargers. You just gave up 500 yards of offense to a team down three tackles and arguably their number one wide receiver to a quarterback you all think is overrated. And he shredded you for 300 yards. We shredded you for 200 yards rushing. And you got bailed out on a bad call. So don't bring this to me about, oh, we're God's gift to football. You are good. Justin Herbert is amazing. You gave up 500 yards to a team that you don't think is good. All I heard all week on YouTube was, we let people run the ball against us so we can stop their pass. We threw for 300 yards still.
And so ran for like 240.
Yeah. 230. No. You guys got issues too. You're a bad call away from evaluating your defense. Evaluating our defense.
Yes. At this point in the season, we're 5 games in, okay, of the 17 game season. So we're almost a third of the way, you could say, through. The Browns aren't a team that many teams are going to want to see down the line.
No, I have us as like the 6th or 7th team, but on any given Sunday would take that number one team to the wire.
We're that team that right now, like Blake said, is living and dying by the 3.
Yeah.
But there's times when that team gets hot enough that you don't want to play them.
Yeah.
You know, so they can get up so big in one half that they could play really crappy in the second half, and they're up by too much, which we've seen that happen with us, right? We've seen us build a big lead in the second half, kind of, and then that we only win by a touchdown or two when we were up by way more.
There's no team in the NFL that I don't think we can beat. It's going to take our best effort, and we have to play better than we have. But like I said, I think we're the 6th or 7th best team in the league, and any given Sunday, we would beat 1 through 5.
Yeah, and I don't want to hear the crap about Herbert over Baker and all this stuff. Like you said, he just put up over 300 yards. He was 11 percentage points better than Herbert completing passes yesterday. I mean, we ran the ball down their throat like it was nothing.
Yeah, and I don't want to take it away from Justin Herbert's super good. Oh, he all is. These he people jumping is. On us about our video that we posted forever
ago. Yeah, 5 months ago.
Yeah, forever ago. We never said he wasn't good. We just said don't crown him league MVP before he takes a snap for his new coach in the second season.
Right.
But he got to do it against a decimated Browns defense that is, like, so far this season bad. Baker had to do it against what is considered like a top 10 passing defense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So give me a break.
Put it this way. The Browns now sitting at 3-2. The Bengals lost yesterday. The Ravens play tonight against the Colts. They're probably going to win, but you never know. Okay, it's one of those games you never know. The Browns just got to make. They're a playoff team.
Oh, easy.
They're the Browns. The Browns to me are just a. It would have been really nice to control your own destiny and have your home field and have all that, which there's still time for that. But I'm confident enough that if we got in and we were the 2nd wild card team, I'd feel confident, like Blake said, going against the number one team.
We have 2 losses, and they're both on the road in hostile environments where we're the more injured team.
To really good offense.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, turns out we lost to Patrick Mahomes. He's pretty good. Oh, we lost to what people are saying is a chance to be MVP quarterback in one of the most high-powered offenses in the league. That's our 2 losses. I think we're going
to
be okay.
And both of those losses, if you had to really harp on one side of the ball, it's the defense. The offense played well in both of those games.
Yes.
So there you go. And I feel like we kind of hit the what went right there, talking about offense being great, Baker rushing attack. I mean,
yeah. And I don't want to hear all this talk that that people are out there saying right now, because we'll say, oh, we lost to the Chiefs, and then you'll hear people are like, oh, the Chiefs aren't the same this year, they're not very good. They lost to the Ravens because Clyde Edwards-Helaire fumbled the ball in the last minute of the game. Mm-hmm. And they were right with the Chargers. They only lost to them by 6. They were in the game all the way until the Chargers took a lead late in the game. So I don't want to hear this nonsense. I know they got beat last night.
Nobody's played a more brutal schedule than the Chiefs.
Yeah. Don't all these people that are like, oh, the Chiefs aren't that good.
They're fine.
They're struggling right now, and they're vulnerable. they have a Hall of Fame coach and probably a Hall of Fame tight end, receiver, and quarterback. They'll be there at the end.
They'll be there.
And that's the thing is, like, you look at the Chiefs, and I can confidently say, oh, they'll be there. They'll be okay because they'll get it figured out. We've seen them do it.
Right.
Now, with this Browns team, we haven't. You know, this defense is like, it's up, it's down, it's up, it's down, it's who are they? They're kind of like what we talk about the Saints every week. Who are they? We don't really know. You see something different each week, but...
got to get healthy.
On the offensive side of the ball, what went right real quick, shout out to the two tackles that stepped in, and we still averaged 6.6 yards a carry yesterday.
So Blake Hance didn't give up a pressure.
Blake Hance
He played at the very beginning of the game. I was very worried because they were sending two guys at him on like the first, I don't even know how many snaps of the game. They just were like, we're going to make him have to communicate and block too.
Just like they went after AJ Green.
Yeah. And then they ended up, you know, he settled down, held his own. Now, there were some times where he wasn't great, but.
No, statistically, he didn't give up one pressure. I looked at zero. He had zero pressures.
Yeah. I mean, zero. Obviously,
Jedrick Wills. Against Joey Bosa almost the whole game.
Yeah, we got to get Jedrick healthy. Got to get him back.
Conklin.
And Conklin. And we got to get Jarvis back on the offense.
Yep.
And I would like, you know, call me crazy, but I don't know if I necessarily on our offense, something I'd like to see. So, Kevin, if you're listening, is I'd like to see some sets maybe where Hunt and Chubb are on the field at the same time. We haven't done it, like, at all.
I just don't – I mean, I guess. But who are you fooling?
The defense on who I'm handing the ball off to, either 6-point-something yards this way or 6-point-something yards the other way.
I mean, maybe. I don't know. To me, that feels kind of gimmicky. That feels Freddie Kitchens-y. How often do the Vikings put Dalvin Cook and Mattinson on the field at the same time?
Well, normally one of them's hurt. So but, you know, looking at the Browns' schedule, we got a tough one coming up this week, and then we got Broncos, Steelers, Bengals the following three. So we got Cardinals and we got Broncos who kind of are who we thought they were. Steelers are a little bit down. Bengals are on the rise. So if we can get through this week and somehow get a win, I mean we can get some momentum going here midway through the year.
Yeah, for sure. But well, I think we'll go ahead and wrap it up here. Thanks for checking out another episode of the Dogs. As you could tell, this one hurt. I was up all night just sitting in my chair like a grumpy old man thinking about it.
In the fetal position.
Yeah. We're still trying to get over it. To all you Dog Pack members, we'll see you on the After Hours episode. You don't want to miss it. To anyone who isn't a Dog Pack member, go join. Because like I said, the After Hours episode is going to be electric. To anyone who doesn't, we'll see you all on Thursday when we preview the upcoming matchup with the Cardinals.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Dogs Podcast. Make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel and follow us on Twitter at the Dogs Podcast and become an official Dog Pack member and join thedogs.com.